So Ireland, the thing about Instagram, so you do use Instagram, you just don't post on Instagram.
I can't remember the last time I was on it.
You don't just sit there and scroll. Like sometimes I get in a scrolling binge where I'm just scroll, like, comment, like.
Yeah, not that interested.
Really good way to sell the show out there to the people.
Well, I hope you do a good job of that.
It's all on me. All on me. All right, so this is interesting. After the Lakers lost that game to Golden State the other night, where they just let Golden State hang around, and in the end, Steph Curry made that bomb three and all that stuff, Anthony Davis talked about the loss.
We know we're a good team. We know teams are going to come out and play their best against us. But the way we lost, we don't like. Obviously, we got to look back at the film and see what we can be better. But we've always bounced back. You know, we don't like losing two in a row. And so our next game, you know, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to win that game. And so, I mean, nobody in the locker room likes to lose. But, you know, it's a tough one. It's one that we for sure should have won.
How important, in the great scheme of things, is tomorrow's game at Milwaukee?
Well, he made one mention of something that these guys talk about all the time, is that they hate, and I mean hate, losing two games in a row.
Right.
It hardly ever happens. I think that, you know, the weird thing about the Lakers so far this year is that they're undefeated on the road, and all four of their losses, are at home.
Yep.
So I think they'd like to keep that going. But I'm very anxious to see. I think the Lakers are the best team in the league. I think they took their foot off the gas the other night and relaxed a little bit when they got up by 19. I want to see how much that got their attention. But on this road trip, Mace, it's seven games. They're gone for 10, 11 days.
Yeah, longest trip of the first half, right?
And it includes stops in Milwaukee, Boston, and Philadelphia.
Wow.
So we're going to know by the end of this trip how good they are. This is their best stretch of games that they're going to have. And this one on Thursday is basically the two best statistical teams in the NBA. I mean, if you look at stuff like, it's number one and number two in point differential. It's number one in offense versus number one in defense. They're a great, the Bucks are basically like us. They're really, really good. And this game's in Milwaukee. Last year, they played two great games. The home team won both times. The Bucks won in Milwaukee. The Lakers won here. And then you'll remember that when the Lakers won was on the final weekend before the season got shut down by COVID.
Yes.
They beat the Bucks on a Friday night. They beat the Clippers on a Sunday.
And then, weirdly, didn't they lose to Brooklyn?
Lost to Brooklyn, and the next day the season was shut down.
Yeah.
So this is a legitimate tape measure game. You know how you can measure yourself against, you know, how you're doing. So that's why I'm really excited for it. I think it's going to be we're going to find out how good the Lakers are, at least right now. I mean, they're going to change throughout the course of a long season. We're going to find out how good they are tomorrow night.
I still think they're going to be a lot better than they are now. And by the way, they're fantastic now.
Right. Well, their bench is really deep. They play great defense. And they've had a huge lead in every game.
Yeah, I mean, they've got the number one defensive rating in the league, the number five offensive rating in the league, the number one net rating in the league. Overall, they're shooting 39% from three as a team with three players above 40%, Kuz, KCP, and Caruso. I mean, they are, you know, and there are going to be moments where, you know, they make mistakes and the games, you know, aren't necessarily the most high leverage games in the world. Tomorrow night will be. And I think it'll bring out the best in them, especially coming off of that loss to Golden State. One thing, this is interesting from Mark Spears from ESPN and the Undefeated. He says he's worried that the Lakers may get fatigued.
You know, I think they're going to continue to get better. It's really too early to judge. I do like both the additions and, you know, what, you know, they could bring. But you got to remember, like, these guys didn't really get much of a training camp. They didn't get the typical, hey, let's come to L.A. a month earlier. Let's go meet in Hawaii or something like that. This is I just wonder, as the Lakers season goes along, like, what their fatigue level is. 2 months out of the bubble, not much time to rest, a lot going on in the world. I just wonder where they're going to be mentally.
And he makes an interesting point about fatigue, because I think you've mentioned a couple of times on the show, LeBron is playing a record low minutes, right?
Right. So is AD, and they're 11 deep. Although Talen Horton Tucker's fallen out of the rotation the last couple of games.
He has. I don't know what happened. Cruz has been so good, and KCP has been so good.
Right. And you have to remember,
Caruso's back from injury.
Yeah, and there's a long game here, too, with Talen Horton Tucker. Because he was taken in the second round, Michael has talked a lot about this. He is a restricted free agent at the end of this season. So, theoretically, well, first let me say this so you don't get alarmed if you're a Laker fan. Any offer he gets from another team, the Lakers can match it. That's the definition of restricted free agency. So if the Lakers really want to keep him, they just match the offer and he stays a Laker. So they'll have final say on where Horton Tucker goes. But another team could come in and give him an insane offer. Like they're restricted in how much they can give him in the first 2 years. But in the second 2 years, they could offer him like a deal that could total like 4 years, $80 million.
And you know what, John? He would just rip it up on a bad team.
Right. And so the Lakers need to be careful about how much they showcase him. And they can afford to bring him along slowly because he's only 20.
Yeah.
He's only 20 years old. So I think Frank Vogel's trying to pick his spots with Talen Horton Tucker. He's trying to, you know, like you said, Kuz has been playing so well that you don't want to take Kuz out of the game. Most coaches will tell you the ideal number for a rotation is 8 or 9. The Lakers are playing 10, and THT would be 11. So it may just be a numbers game with him. He's still a really good player. They're still very, very high on him. But there's a reason not to, for lack of a better word, showcase him every night. Because it makes it harder for another team to say, well, let's give that guy an insane offer sheet.
Wait a minute. So you think they're holding back on Horton Tucker because they're afraid they're going to lose him to free agency?
I don't think that's I think he's Frank Vogel's playing the best team he can to try and win these games. But that's the long play with him. Think about it. He's only 20. Okay, should be a junior in college.
Yep.
And if they play him, let's say, 35 minutes a night, and he goes off, then all of a sudden, the rest of the team sees what he is. The rest of the league sees what he is. Like right now, if you were another team, would you offer him $80 million?
No, I would not.
Right, because you don't know.
Yeah, right now he's a mystery.
Right. So, but I think the reason, I think you hit on the main reason why he hasn't gotten minutes in the last two games. Kuz is playing so well, you don't want to take him out. And it's hard for any coach, let alone Frank Vogel, to work in 11 guys into a rotation. I've never really seen any coach do that.
Right. I think Kuz has made a major leap this year. And I'm convinced that it's real and it's going to stick. His three-point shooting has improved dramatically. He's shooting over 40%. Last year, he shot 31% from three. This year, again, over 40%. It's 42%, I think, he's shooting from three. He is absolutely deadly. He's also become a really good rebounder. And he's good defender, too. I mean, from the bubble on, he's become a really good defender. And that's, I think, what you do to earn Coach Vogel's trust is you defend, because that is Vogel's priority.
And on this team, you're going to get open threes. And right now from three, shooting
44%. 44%, yeah. Hey, I want to sneak this in real quick. Jared Goff, Steve, is it Wyche or Weish?
Steve Weish from the NFL Network.
Weish, yeah.
Steve Weish from the NFL Network. Was on with George and LZ, our fantastic afternoon show yesterday. I was listening to them. And he talked about Jared Goff and Sean McVay and the idea of marriage counseling.
We know John Wolford came in and you know, they were excited about him when Jared Goff got hurt and the way he performed. Then he got hurt. So I think a lot of people are wondering, is they're going to bring in a veteran type of quarterback to push Jared Goff this offseason, or to at least have that threat there as a backup to see if they can elevate Goff? And people I've spoken to said basically at this moment, the relationship with Goff and McVay, not great. They need marriage counseling, is what one person said to me. I think this is something that they're going to be able to work through, but there's got to be some healing, and that's not just with Jared Goff's injured thumb.
You know, it's funny. There were odds in Vegas I got today. The odds of Jared Goff being the game one starter next year for the Rams, the odds are 1-3. The odds of somebody else starting, a different quarterback other than Goff, the odds are 3-1. So still, at least in the mind of Vegas and in the mind of those odds, Jared Goff will be the game one starter next year.
Well, the contract would seem to dictate that, wouldn't it? You know, they're paying him so much money that he's going to – put it this way, he's going to get a chance to hang on to that job and to compete for it. I just hope, as you've been arguing, that they bring somebody in to compete with him.
Yeah. By the way, I was looking at Rams free agents today, and there are some that they're going to have to fight to keep and maybe won't be able to keep all three. They've got Leonard Floyd as a free agent, and he had 9.5 sacks this year. He's going to be really tough to retain. I think he's going to be a priority. John Johnson
really
the third
good.
Is a free agent. He is excellent, one of the best defenders they've got. And Troy Hill is a free agent too. So the idea of holding this defense together as much as they can is going to be a priority now with Raheem Morris as defensive coordinator. All right, coming up next, how about a little honesty? A little honesty around the show. So,
speaking of marriage counseling,
there are times we love each other. There are times we annoy each other. There are times that we bore each other. And so I thought today it would be interesting if each of us were to talk about the other people on the show and say, here's what we love and here's what we hate. So I want to start with Lindsay. Lindsay, you're going to be up first.
Wait, why do you have to ask me first?
Because I decided it. So
I haven't even written mine down yet.
You know, you speak from your heart, Linz. Speak from your heart. What you hate about John Ireland, what you love about John Ireland, what you hate about me, what you love about me, what you hate about Jorge, what you love about Jorge. We're a team. And it's time to air out some grievances and also compliment each other. It's both, love and hate. It's like a Matthew Berry column, love, hate. That's coming up next for you. Lindsay, think it up, okay? Think it up because you're okay. Up first. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN, standing by is Kiki with a look at traffic. Kiki, what are you doing?
Oh, my God. That could be the best segment ever. Is that coming up next?
That's yes. Coming up next.
I'm clearing my schedule. Sorry to every other station. I am not available. I need to listen to this.
Awesome.
This is going to be the best radio ever. Oh, God, that's funny. Hey, I'm going to go to El Segundo, the 105 West Bar, right at Sepulveda Boulevard. We've got a stall. It's going to be in the right lane of the on-ramp. Of course, big issues there, and it's starting to really back up. This report sponsored by the California Labor and Workforce Development Agency. Essential workers are the foundation of our economy. Our families and communities depend on them. If you're concerned about your safety at work due to COVID-19, take action. Learn your rights. Visit dir.ca.gov/COVID. With traffic, I'm Kiki, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, such a lonely word. Yep, honesty.
Everyone is so untrue.
Yeah, today we're getting honest. Yep.
Until today.
Until today. What I need from you. So we decided that today we'd take a little time. You know, we're a team, right? It's me, John, Lindsay, and Jorge. And we work together every day. We haven't seen each other in a really long time. I don't think I've not
yeah, I haven't seen
John.
I haven't seen Lindsay since March.
Yeah, I haven't seen Lindsay since March. You and I saw each other at SoFi Stadium for the tour back in June.
I see Jorge because he's going into the station and I'm going in too.
So we're kind of flying blind every day. So I thought it was a good time to sort of compliment each other and then air our grievances.
And then ruin it by not complimenting each other.
Correct.
Okay.
So Linz, you're up first, and we're going to start with Jorge. What do you love about Jorge? You there?
Did we lose Lindsay?
It's off to a rolling start.
Yeah, I can go if she's not ready.
Yeah, okay. Actually, Jorge, do you have him?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So go ahead and do it for John.
All right, John. I love your storytelling, man. Anything from the Lakers plane stories to Lasorda stories, the way you tell stories, man. I just love the way you paint the picture for us and the listeners.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
So what do you hate about John?
Oh, how he ignores the text about the live reads and leaves me hanging. Oh, that stuff just, man.
Yeah, Jorge is texting us throughout the show, and I try to follow it. John, you tend to blow through it a little bit more than
Jorge,
I
would
do.
Say I respond probably, 30% of the time?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, okay. It's there.
In defense of John, when you're in the flow of the show, like when you really get going, you're rolling, and it's harder to pay attention to things. So,
also, know that I haven't worked with you guys in studio. It's all been remote since I started working with you guys.
That's
correct.
Cool.
Yeah. I've never worked with Jorge in person on a show.
And so to let people behind the curtain a little bit, George, like he'll say to me, hey, at the end of this segment, there's a PowerPro plumbing read. And if I don't respond to him, he has to fly blind. In other words, when Mason stops talking to end the segment, George, you don't know if I'm going to start talking.
Correct.
Or if you should go to the court. That's why it's important that I need to do a better job. So I, you know what? That's a correctable problem. I will get back to you.
Okay. How about for Lindsay? Is Lindsay back?
I've been here the whole time. I don't know why.
Oh, okay. We couldn't hear you. Jorge is doing it right now. Okay. How about for Lindsay? What you love about Lindsay?
Lindsay, very organized. From other producers I've worked with, Lindsay, one of those that keeps everything just organized, very well organized.
Yeah, that's a really good one for Lindsay. Really good one. And what do you hate about Lindsay?
Oh, man, when she gets mad at Game of Games for the delay, we don't have control of that. We don't have control of any delays, Lindsay. I'm so sorry.
Let me tell you something. Greg Bergman texted me when he filled in for me on Monday, and he said, you are so right about the delay. I swear there was like three times where I beat Michael, and I didn't even hear his name until after I said mine. And I was like, see, I told you.
And Michael is actually in studio sitting next door. That's why Mace, Michael does so well in Game of Games. He really does have a 1 to 2 second cushion.
Yes.
From all, even you and I who have.
Because he's closer to the board than we are.
Yeah, even you and I have good connections, but Michael is literally got an advantage there.
Right. All right, so Jorge, we saved the worst for last. what do you love about me?
I like your high energy. You're always, you know, coming up with different points or different topics, different stories to try to drive us through. That's very cool. Your energy just always up there.
Awesome. And what do you most hate about me?
When you throw me under the bus with like, hey, George, we have this sound. And we don't talk about it at the break or anything. Like, you just kind of leave me hanging as well, man.
Yeah, so I'll say something like, here's what AD said about last night. And then Jorge will be
George
like scrambling.
Like,
what the hell am I supposed to play? Yeah, you know, that's totally fair. That's totally fair. All right, we've got time for Lindsay. Linz, what do you most love about Jorge?
Can I start from hate to love so we can end on a positive note?
Sure. What do you hate most about Jorge?
I hate that Jorge is so good at his job, it makes me worry that he's going to take mine.
Oh, wow.
Oh, and in a pandemic, that's a legitimate concern because, like the other day, I want to give a shout out to Laura Romo. Mm-hmm. We're so short-staffed that Laura ran the whole Laker game by herself. She produced it. She ran the board.
Wow.
She did, I mean, like literally everything. So I see where you're going with that, Lindsay.
Yeah, so even the hate is a compliment.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's hard to produce when you're not there. And I'm such a control freak, as Jorge mentioned, my organization.
Yes.
That, you know, sometimes it ticks me off. Okay. I love about Jorge his endless positivity and his laugh. Who doesn't love
Yeah, that's
Jorge
true.
Laugh?
That's a good one. That's a good one for him.
The laugh is great. The laugh really makes my day. That's a good one. That's a good one, Linz. All right, so now Ireland. What do you love about John?
What I hate about John is when he cuts me off.
Oh, yeah.
That happens a lot.
It's true. I cut Mason off a lot too.
But I was going to say you do it with everybody, but I get particularly mad when it's with me because then I have to say, well, let me finish.
And then
I sometimes have to say that a few times. But what I love about John, you're one of the nicest, most generous people I know.
Really? Well, that's very nice of you to say.
Yeah, that's very nice. All right, Linz. You and I spend a lot of time together, Linz. What do you hate about me?
I hate when you lose track of where we are in the show. it's right there in front of you. Like just read the sheet and look at the time and put two and two together. And sometimes you just are like, oh crap, I forgot it's Radio Tinder. Or, oh crap, I forgot we have a guest next. It's right there.
Tease the wrongs. Yeah. No, that's fair. I do get lost in the shows, but I'm in the flow of it all, so I sometimes lose my place. Okay, what do you love about me?
What do you hate about you?
Oh, no, that was
what you hate. Oh, that's right. Oh, what do you love about Mason?
I love how hard you work on every little thing. Like, every time we try and come up with things that we need to improve or tweak or whatever, I feel like you try so hard. Sometimes you try, like, too hard even. Like, it's a good thing, though. I feel like you work very hard to make everybody happy.
Oh, that's very nice. That's very nice. So those are the love hates from Jorge and Lindsay. I think, generally speaking, everybody was very honest there. I think there's room for improvement. But I think the positives are definitely great affirmations for what we do here every day. I think this is good to air everything out.
Isn't that part of
how you feel? I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie. I am a little worried that you and John, like, completely, you know, got really down in the weeds with this assignment, and that Jorge and I were way too easy on you guys.
I think you're you're going to be pleasantly surprised.
No, I think you're actually going to be horrified.
Fine. That's a vertical and a horizontal tease.
Yes, we've teased it every single way. And coming up next, me and John, what we love and hate about each member of the show. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Okay, we're really getting down to it now. Mm-hmm. We're really getting down to it. You know, the Mason and Ireland show is really a four-person show. Lindsay is here as our producer and a personality in her own right. Jorge is here as he's an associate producer. I call him an associate producer, and he runs the board for us, and then me and Ireland. Do you like that promotion there, Jorge?
Yeah, since you're quote-unquote the boss.
I'm the boss, exactly.
I was gonna say,
you're the associate
just let
producer.
Think that.
Yeah.
Does it come
all
along
right,
with
so,
a raise?
That's so who do you want to go first?
I'm happy to go first if you
okay,
want.
Okay, why don't you go first?
All right, which person you want me to tackle first?
Start with Jorge.
Okay. George, the thing that blows my mind about you, the thing I love, is that, man, you're like Kike Hernandez or Chris Taylor. You do everything. I can't, like Mason will be throwing you stuff. I'll be throwing you stuff. Lindsay's throwing you stuff. Sales is throwing you stuff. I'm sending you emails at 3 a.m. I'm sending you blah, blah, blah. And it's all done. I really don't know how you're as good of a multitasker as anyone I've ever worked with. And, you know, we've had a lot of people run the board and we've had a lot of different people in that chair. I don't know if we would have survived, the show would have survived the pandemic without you. Oof. I think in that context, like, who's the most important person that's kept us on the air during the pandemic? You are the gold medalist. That's what I love about you. I think that we're doing it. Okay. What's interesting is the thing I hate about you is it's the same thing that you hate about me. I will send you emails for sound and, like, I don't know, I'm up at all hours of the night, so I'll send you, like, weird stuff. I'll send it to you the night before. I'll send it to you the morning of. You never email me back to tell you that you got it.
Oh,
so a lot of times I will get to the part of the show where I want to run it, and I got to go, oh, crap, I can't say because I don't know if George did it.
There? Did he do it?
Right. But I should know that you're always doing it. So I should just err on the side. But sometimes I will hold it because you don't email me back. So start emailing me back. Does that make sense?
It does. Yep.
So,
all right.
So it's interesting that my thing I hate about you is the same thing you hate about me, that each one of us is non-responsive to the other. So that's a very fixable problem.
It is.
All right.
Okay.
Now for Lindsay.
Okay. George said that the thing he loves the most about Lindsay is that she's organized. It's not just that. She's incredibly technology savvy. Mm. She has dragged Mace, you and I, into the, like, when Amanda produced the show, when Bergman produced the show, we never had a running rundown with all the commercials in it and all the topics and all the things. Like, Amanda used to send us emails for ideas for the show.
Yeah.
And they were good. Bergman just did nothing.
Bergman nothing. He never sent us anything.
He wouldn't send us emails.
Worst producer ever.
Yeah. Lindsay is the anti-Bergman. She's like a combination of all the good things about Amanda and the good things about Bergman. The one thing Bergman was good at is he was good in the air, and he was good at participating in the show.
Good.
Lindsay not only participates in the show, but sometimes, Lindsay, I'll get stuff from you And I don't even know how you did it. I'll open my phone and Lindsey's got like a video and a meme. And I'm like, I don't even know how to do that stuff. So thanks to Lindsey, she's like a modern day technological producer that we desperately needed. So that's the thing I love the most about Lindsey.
Okay.
The only thing, like I had to come up with something I hated about Lindsey because I didn't really have one. But this is the only one that came to mind is that, Mason, you and I are type A bounce off the walls energy guys.
Yes.
Like we are constantly competing to see who can have a higher energy, me or you.
Agreed.
When Radio Tinsler starts, I feel sometimes that Lindsey doesn't bring that level of energy.
Oh.
I don't know if it's...
I don't think I have that level of energy.
Right. I was just going to say, let's try something. Lindsey, do a growl.
I feel stupid doing a growl.
Well, see, that's what I mean.
Do it. Do it.
Mason and I start the show every day. The reason we growl is just to say, all right, game on.
We're ramping it up.
Yeah, let's go. You know, okay. So you could do it. Just growl. Go, ah!
No, I'm not doing it.
Oh, see?
So that's my point. That if you could bring your energy up at the beginning of, like tomorrow, when we do Radio Tinder, I think you should start with a growl. And I think that will kick you in and you will say, okay, game on.
Yes.
Let's go.
Okay.
But Lindsey, literally, that's the only thing that I could even think of that I don't like about you is that I wish your energy would be closer to ours in Radio Tinder, but that's it.
All right. So that leads me.
Yep. Okay. So what do you want me to do first? The thing I love about you or the thing I hate about you?
Thing you hate about me.
Okay, the thing I hate about you, and I've never talked to Lindsey about it, but I'm guessing she hates it too, because Amanda hated it, and Greg hated it, and I hate it, is when I play golf, if a guy hits a shot and he goes, oh, crap, I did it again, and then the ball will roll right next to the hole.
Yeah.
We will call that a whiny, that we penalize him $1 for whining.
Oh, okay.
When you come in the breaks in the middle of the show and you do it probably 2-3 times a week and you'll go, I'm terrible today, I'm having a lousy show, I guarantee you Lindsey, George and I all just roll our eyes because
you'd be like, man, I suck today.
Yeah. This show doesn't have it, this is my favorite, this is the worst show of the week. This show has been awful. What are the three of us supposed to do with that if it's 2:00 and you're whining about how bad the show is?
Yeah, no,
stop,
it's true.
The whining, man.
I definitely do that. Too much whining.
I hate it. Okay, so, but that is far canceled out by the thing that the most I love about you. And I had to narrow this down. Because there were like 4 or 5 things that I really love about you. But this is the one I decided to focus on. And people who listen to the Culture Pop podcast already know this. So if you like this type of background stuff, you should find the 2 Culture Pop podcasts that Mason and I did where he interviews me and then I interview him. Because we go deep into the weeds on this.
Yes.
But when we first met, you said to me, look, there are 2 type of people in sports radio. There is a generator and a reactor. I'm a generator, and I think you're a really good reactor, but I hate reacting. I'm not good at it. I don't like it. I generate, you react. And at first, I fought you on that.
Right.
I would like always try and come back at you like, whoa, wait, I got an idea, or I want to do this, I want to do that. When I finally realized what you were talking about, and it took a couple of years, I think that's when the show took off.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you didn't generate as well as you do, and this is was Lindsey's compliment for you as well, that you're always turning over rocks and generating and coming up with stuff. I honestly think, Mace, if you didn't do that, that I couldn't do the Laker job. I think
Wow.
that by virtue of you taking the con and kind of being the leader of the show in content, it has allowed me to do the Laker games, which was a dream job for me. So I will be forever grateful for that. And I said this on the Culture Pop podcast, but this is the best way I can explain it. If people come to me and say, what's the difference between Mason and Ireland? I say it this way. I say, if I'm not on the show sucks. It's bad. If Mason's not on the show, there's no show. That's the difference. So that's what I love about you the most, that you carry the majority of the workload and almost all of it when it comes to content.
That's very nice. That's very nice. Okay. My turn. Start with Jorge. Jorge, the thing I love about you is that you have, and it makes my day every time you do it, Lindsay mentioned it, your laugh.
Infectious.
Yeah, it's infectious, and it lets me know that I said something funny. Like, I wouldn't know if something was funny unless I heard Jorge laugh at it. So your laugh absolutely is a huge part of the show, and when I hear it, it makes me feel good and positive about what we're doing. So that's I love your laugh, man. Love your laugh.
Thank you.
What I hate about him is that as soon as we go to break, he's a total jerk.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that's completely made up. I have a hard time coming up with something I don't like about Jorge.
Yeah.
Seriously, you guys all came up with something. I mean, Jorge is the absolute driver of the ship. I mean,
yeah, you agree with me that in terms of like the pandemic, he's the one that's kept us on the air.
He is the best associate producer I have ever worked
with. Hey, promotion, Jordan. Hey,
so it's very hard for me to come up with something that I hate about Jorge. He's not really hateable. All right, Lindsay, the thing I love about you, first of all, let me say, with all due respect to Amanda and Dave Singer, not Bergman, with all due respect to the good producers, you are the best producer that we have had. We spend so much time. We spend an hour every day on the phone together, kind of planning stuff out and figuring stuff out and figuring where the show is going to go. You put it all together. In my crazy mind, you put it all together in such an organized way that it actually organizes my thoughts. So that is my love for you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that very much.
Now, what is your hate?
My hate is Cleveland. Jesus.
I like mean, that all, part about her.
The Cleveland of it all. It's like when we get on the phone, everything, all roads lead to Cleveland. Well, in Cleveland, they're doing this. In Cleveland, Baker Mayfield. In Cleveland, LeBron James. In Cleveland. I get it. You're from Cleveland. But we're in L.A. now. This is the big time. So we're done with Cleveland, right?
No.
No. Lindsay. Okay. Stick to your guns.
All right, so that's
right.
What I
now you got to get to me.
All right, so what I love about John Ireland is his unbelievable work ethic. He really does, and a lot of times he's not necessarily part of the detailed planning of everything. But boy, you bring it every day, and I'm always impressed when it's the night you do a show, you do a Laker game, and you come back the next day, and you've got that same level of energy. I could not possibly do that. I could not do a second job and still do this one. But you bring the energy no matter what time of day, whenever the show's on, even if you work till midnight the night before, you still bring that energy. It is constant, it is intense, and it makes the show fun for me to do.
Well, that's very nice. Now, what do you hate?
Here's what I hate. John, I get really annoyed when you fall asleep during the show. And I'm telling you this in person, it happens. Like when we're doing the show in the studio, John will all of a sudden nod off. He's like a college student in a lecture. It's like he's nodding off, his eyes
Well, you know,
half
those
closed.
Two things are related. The thing that you love and the thing that you hate are related.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I guess that's true.
But it's a fair criticism. And I'm not going to be like Tommy Lasorda. Remember, Tommy rest his soul. People would say, you know, Tommy falls asleep in the dugout. And Tommy would say, that is a complete lie. I have never fallen asleep in my 50 years in baseball. It's never happened. And then ESPN would pull out like 8 edits of Tommy falling asleep in the dugout.
Well, and even now when we're not seeing each other, I have heard you, and I'm going to start calling it out. I have heard you yawn during the show.
Yes, call that out. It's and like, I will find a way.
How does that make me feel? I'm not holding anybody's attention.
I will find a way to blame it on Reagan the dog, but I think you should call it out whenever it happens.
Hey, John, there's a mute button there.
Yeah, hit the mute button.
Where? Turn your Jorge, but I have down. The old school Comrex. I don't think I got
right,
one.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. No. So those are our love hates. That was not too
way,
painful, was it?
Yeah, no, not at all. And we encourage listeners, you can tweet us at Venice Mace, at LA Ireland, if you have love hates. And they're good, we'll read them on the air.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you want to send us what you love and hate about the show, feel free.
Yes.
So it's Game of Games. Is it, Lindsay, is it your game?
It's Lindsay's game
yes,
today. Yeah,
game.
Lindsay's
I
game.
I need a win. I'm
me
behind.
Too. I need a win. You and I are tied right now. You,
no,
me, and
I think you're, aren't you one up on, oh no, I caught you the other day.
I'm three, Ireland's three, Lindsay's two, Jorge's one, and Michael Thompson is two. Michael Thompson is two. All right, so Game of Games is coming up next. Hey, Kiki, what's going on?
Best segment ever.
Great
song to go with this segment.
Karen, you worked with us for a long time. What do you what do you love about us the most?
Well, sometimes, John, you don't return like calls or text messages.
Well, that's what you hate.
Part.
Yeah, that's what you hate. What do you love?
Steve used to be the same way. I love about both of you. Can I just say this? You, if you're friends with people, you guys are friends forever. Like,
oh,
you guys.
That's very nice.
Yes. You both are just really nice. Steve is a little more like lovey-dovey lately. Steve has turned totally changed since when I worked with him. He was not.
Yeah, the old
so nice.
Steve Mason had a mean streak, but that's gone now.
Yeah, not anymore. Not anymore. But
nice.
You guys are just very loyal. That's
you know
I'll
what that leaves? What do you hate about us?
Nah, nothing. Just that this I wish you would.
That I don't return her texts right away. All right, I'll work on it.
Yeah, that's all. That's all.
All right, good.
No hate, all love. Okay.
Awesome.
All right.
So what's going on out there? Is there something for people to hate?
Yeah. Lindsay hates crash in the right lane. I hate this crash. It's the 5 southbound right after the 110 because now traffic is jammed up from Los Feliz Boulevard. This report sponsored by the Center at the Sierra Health Foundation. COVID-19 vaccines are here. The vaccines are safe, effective, and available at no cost. They're being distributed through a fair and phased approach. When it's your turn, get vaccinated. Keep wearing a mask because together we could end the pandemic. With traffic, I'm Kiki 710 ESPN.
All right, it is Game of Games time. It's sponsored by Power Pro Plumbing and Heating. Powerful, professional, affordable. It's who they are. It's in their name. They are our plumber, and they want to be yours, too. Call 1-800-584-4116 or visit powerproplumbing.com. All right, so it is Lindsay's game today. So far in 2021, in the month of January, I have won 3 times. Ireland has won 3 times. Lindsay's won twice. Jorge once. Michael Thompson, who'll be back here tomorrow, has won twice. And Lindsay, what do you got for us today?
Well, today we're going to do one of my favorite games. It's the Name the Cost cameo version.
Okay,
so I'm going to give you guys a name, and you're going to tell me what their cost is on Cameo, the video service where they record a message for you and you pay them.
Yes.
And we're going to do closest without going over.
Closest without going over.
Okay.
All right. First one here. Pau Gasol. How much is a Pau Gasol
cameo? Pau Gasol
cameo?
Is on Cameo?
Oh, wow.
Sure is. What do you think he charges for Cameo, Ireland?
Wow. I would pay a pretty good thing to see Pau.
Nice guy.
Yeah, I'll say $250.
All right. Mason, what do you think?
Pau is a humble guy. I'll say $100.
Okay. And Jorge, what do you think?
$175.
Well, Pau Gasol's cameo cost $250, meaning Ireland got it right on the money.
Ireland hit it on the nose.
Wow.
Yep.
Whoa, wait, all really?
Right. Yep, okay. Right on the money.
Okay.
All right, number two. Kevin O'Leary, also known as Mr. Wonderful
from
on
Shark
Tank.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Mace, what do you think Mr. O'Leary charges for, Mr. Wonderful charges for his cameo?
$500.
Okay. Jorge, what do you think?
$300.
All right, Ireland.
No. Mr. Wonderful is he like never wants to do deals with anybody. What's the highest bid so far, Lindsay?
500.
501.
501. Mr. Wonderful charges $1,200 for.
Wow.
Ireland's also got that one.
Damn.
Is 2 for 2.
He's on a roll.
Only one on the board so far. All right, here's an interesting one. Cameo price for Andrew Dice Clay, the comedian.
Ooh. Oh yeah, I remember him.
Jorge. What do you think Andrew Dice Clay charges for cameo?
$200.
All right. Ireland, what do you think?
I think Jorge is too high. I'm going to go, you said 200. I'm going to go 150.
Okay, Mace.
God, I think it's right in that territory. I'll take a shot at 201.
201, and Andrew Dice Clay charges 299.
Yeah.
For his cameo, which means Mason's got that one.
Okay.
All right. Next one here. Number four. This is a really strange one, I guess. Stacey Dash. She's in Clueless. That's the only thing I know her from. Kind of surprised to see her on Cameo, but I think, yeah. Mason, it's your turn. What do you think Stacey Dash charges for a cameo?
I'll go $50.
Okay. Jorge?
$100.
All right. Ireland?
101.
Mason's got that one because it's $53.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Mace tied it up.
2-2.
Yep. 2-2, and Jorge's yet to hit the board. Number
yet
five.
To scratch.
Jorge, you alive out there?
Yeah,
say.
Yeah, hanging in here.
All right. This one is Pauly Shore. Pauly Shore, what does he charge for a cameo? Jorge.
125.
Okay. Ireland?
I think Pauly Shore is probably more than that. 125. I'll go back to what I did for Gasol. 250.
250. Okay. Mace?
Now, is this closest without going over?
Yep.
I'll bid $1.
$1. Pauly Shore charges $325.
Oh, Ireland takes the point.
I almost went too high.
Ireland's got that one, yep. All right, how many more of these you guys want me to do?
First one to five wins. We'll
yeah, first one to five.
I've got, what do I have now, okay. Three?
Yeah.
Yep, okay. You've got three. Mason's got two. Jorge, you get to scratch.
Okay.
All right, Lisa Vanderpump, Ireland's favorite reality TV star.
I would
star.
Pay top dollar for Lisa.
Well, what do you think she charges, John Ireland?
Lisa Vanderpump, I'm going to go $200.
200. All right. Mace?
I'm going to go $1,000.
All right. Jorge, what do you think?
I'll say $800.
No way.
She charges $250.
Should have gone 201, Mace.
I thought she was a bigger deal than that.
All right. This one is a good one. He is a... I don't know. Would you call him the president of the Ramilly or the head of the Ramilly? Eric Dickerson.
Eric Dickerson, ED.
Well, he goes back and forth.
Yep. Mace, what do you think?
I'm going to say Eric Dickerson, $125.
Okay. All right.
$126.
Oh.
Oh, getting strategical there. Ireland.
ED. It's in the Hall of Fame. I'll go $1.
$1. So that means he charges $250.
Yes. Jorge takes it. Jorge
on the board.
He finally scratches, as Stu Lance
finally
would say.
Finally scratches. All right. So Ireland's got four, Mason's got two, and Jorge has one. Next one here. Olympic gymnast Gabby Douglas.
Ooh, she's pretty
What
famous.
Does she charge, she Jorge?
$150.
All right, $150. Okay, what do you think, John?
She's an Olympic gold medalist. It's got to be more. It's got to be double that. I'll go $300.
Okay, Mace.
$1.
$1. Gabby Douglas charges $410. Ireland
wins.
Boom!
Wow.
That's
good
really
job.
High. Yeah, $410.
But she's. Well, I mean. Gabby Douglas doesn't have time to, you know, just do a message for anybody.
You know what we should really do? We should find the ultimate B-list celebrity and have them do a message for us.
Okay.
And
that
pay
we
it.
Can play on the air.
Yeah.
We'll pay it, but yeah. It's got to be somebody that's, like, who should, if you're listening, go to Cameo. Tell us who we should get.
Yeah, who fits the show?
Yeah, who fits the show? Who should we buy a cameo of? And we're looking for, you know, sort of B-list funny people. Oh, you can tweet us at Venice Mace, at LA Ireland, and we'll get somebody to do a cameo for us.
I just thought, if he's on Cameo, we got to do it. Let me see. I'm going to check and see if he is on there. I got to go to Cameo, and then I got to type it into search. All right, Mace, if this guy is here, we got to pay it.
Okay.
He's not on Cameo.
Oh, who were you thinking?
Larry David.
Oh, Larry David.
He'd be perfect.
That would be unbelievable.
How about Larry Wilcox from Chips? That's what came up when I did the search for Larry David.
I think that may be a reach. That may be a reach. All right, coming up next for you is Purgatory. George and LZ will step into the breach, and we will mix it up a little bit. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, it's Purgatory time. I was listening to the old George. By the way, Clinton Yates is here. Clinton, welcome.
What's up, gang? How are we doing today?
Good, man. Good to have you.
You know, I was thinking about you because you you lived in D.C. for a long time. I don't know if you're out in L.A. now, but what are your feelings as you watch the inauguration take place today?
Basically, I think the easiest thing for me to identify that people can relate to is that Inauguration Day, no matter the administration, no matter the party, in D.C., typically, Celebration Day, flatly. The peaceful transfer of power is what people are down for. Folks are ready to get on with their lives and make sure they can have a good time on one day. And it wasn't that way this time. Not because of necessarily anything other than the security situation. Just looking at that, seeing all those troops, seeing all those tanks, that was just weird. And normally, you know, the parade is one thing, and people get to get out there and celebrate whoever it is that takes office. Didn't happen today. But I will tell you this. January 20th, 2009, was the coldest day on the history of the globe.
Yeah, I always wonder why we do it on a January day outside in D.C.
That first 44 inauguration was legitimately the coldest I've ever felt in my life. And if you ask anybody that was there, people from all over the country who think they know cold, for whatever reason, that day.
Clinton, were there, did you say you were listening to KSPN Los Angeles?
Oh, damn it. I was about to jump in and
got him again.
Well, I will say this, John, to your point, in most other developed countries, the transition does not take several months. Now, granted, I understand this country is different. There's a lot of different moving parts. But in the rest of the developed world, these transitions generally happen within a couple of weeks.
Yeah, this one took a while.
Yeah.
This one took a while.
Well, no, but historically, we always wait till January 20, whatever.
The Constitution actually says January 20th. Yeah.
So
it's piece of paper we all try to follow.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, it is. I mean, listen, we can't amend it. Like, it is possible. I mean, 66% of people to agree on it. But I feel like that, to John's point, why are we waiting till, like, the coldest day, the coldest month of the year? You know, like, let's do it a little sooner.
Blame Jefferson.
Exactly.
So last night I hear you talking on the show, George, and you were talking about how regular you are.
Yeah.
Digestively,
thanks to Israel Gutierrez, who told me about his secret.
Which is what?
Goalie, apple cider vinegar gummies. Have you had apple cider vinegar, John, before?
No, but I'm going to try these. How do you spell goalie?
G-O-L-I.
Just like it sounds. Yeah, G-O-L-I.
Yeah, they are fantastic. They taste delicious. I was skeptical.
And what's it supposed to do?
And how many do you take?
I take like two or three a day.
Okay.
Yeah, and you can take up to six a day, it says on the thing, but that feels like excessive.
I'm ordering right now as we speak.
What's the idea of it?
I feel like I need to jump in here, though, because I listened to this yesterday, and I was hearing Greg not buying that anything that was apple cider vinegar related was going to be remotely decent. And here's what I'll say. The tastes versus the flavor description, when you get to these like adult level gummies, they don't really matter. You know what I'm saying? Like, they taste like whatever they taste like. If they happen to be good for you, even better. Gummy bears are not what they used to be, or gummy chewables. Back when I was chewing Flintstone vitamins, those things tasted terrible.
You know what I'm saying?
They were the worst. And so anything that is remotely tasty, I don't care if it's apple cider vinegar or whatever the flavor may be described as, if I can down it and it's good for me, I'm in. So my point is, George, I bought some of these yesterday.
Nice.
Based on your recommendation.
Clinton, I just ordered it. They're going to be here tomorrow on Amazon one day. So I'm all in, George. I will give you a review next week.
Goalie party, baby.
Yeah. I'm the most regular person. Like, I can tell you the exact time every day.
No way.
God. Yeah. Right after Radio Tinder.
Don't.
Right after Radio Tinder. Bam. Bam.
Well, George, the thing with guys like you and me is this particular tip, and I guess we have Izzy to thank for it, is golden for us because there are times when George and I are working a game. We talked about it last night, where you get to the arena a couple hours before the game, you're getting thrown into meetings. As you know, George, once the game starts, those 3 hours are completely blocked. You don't have time to do anything.
Off limits.
Yeah. And so we need to be able to schedule these things around our days.
Of course.
Now, I'm just picturing a commercial now where you guys are like running into the gym and you like bump into each other with your briefcases and you're like, hey,
we actually did that. That happened on Friday.
We met in the urinal.
We ran into each other at the urinal because there was only one men's room open in the general area because there's nobody there. So we ran into each other. And honestly, the entire broadcast teams for everybody was in there. It was me.
Awesome.
It was me and Ireland first, and then all of a sudden Mark Jackson is walking in, and Dave Pasch is walking in, and Michael Thompson is walking in, and everybody's just walking in, talking in the
Trudell came in.
Yeah.
I love it.
And Billy Mack. Right. Then Billy Mack came in. So it was.
Did you guys just throw the goalies in the air and everybody just scrambled?
Waving them like we just don't care.
Like you're in a club in Miami in the bathroom at 2 in the morning.
But goalie, for those that think that it may taste bad because of the vinegar part, their saying is taste the apple, not the vinegar. I'm telling you, it tastes delicious.
I'm with Clinton. I don't care how they taste.
Well, I'm saying I believe that they taste good even if the description is bad is what I'm saying because gummy industries have advanced to the point where they can nail that down for kids, for other things, for this. You know what I'm saying? It works out.
You've heard of Big Tech. This is Big Gummy.
Hey, let me ask you guys something about
this. Big Gummy is a business. Yes, I'm with you. Big Gummy is. And Mace, couldn't you use this stuff? It says it right here. All of the age-old benefits traditionally of ACV, healthy digestion, weight management, appetite reduction, immune system, heart health, energy. Who doesn't need that stuff?
Okay, I'll try it. I'm on
the
website.
Let's go!
Let's go, goalie challenge!
Okay, so we're not going to have a purgatory tomorrow because there's this big Laker game in Milwaukee.
Right. Yeah.
And Mace...
Friday.
It's Thursday.
We're back Friday.
Okay, so... Both teams had long winning streaks snapped on Monday. The last time each team played was Monday, Martin Luther King Day. The Lakers had won 5 in a row and 9 out of 10, but they lost to the Warriors. Milwaukee had won 4 in a row and 5 out of 6, but they lost to Brooklyn.
Correct.
Who is this? I mean, I know in the big picture of things, it's a somewhat meaningless regular season game. But looking at the big picture, who needs to win this game more, George, the Lakers or the Bucks?
Let me see. You know, I think it's still – you know what? I'm going to go and say the Lakers. You know why? Because their schedule – it's something that was even brought up to Frank Vogel yesterday.
Has been pretty easy so far,
Pretty soft, and even the teams that they've played have been missing guys, right? Like LaMarcus Aldridge was missing in one of those Spurs games. Like, they've missed guys when they've played some of these – even the weaker teams. So – and look, it is what it is, and it's a very strange season, and this is the stuff we'll have to deal with. But I'm going to say the Lakers for now because of that, although I could easily make a case for the Bucks.
Right, because the Bucks, I think, now that Brooklyn has loaded up. By the way, Clinton, where George and I both think Brooklyn is now the team to beat in the East. Mason's not buying it. Where are you on the team that Brooklyn has built?
They're the team to beat in the East if they don't beat themselves. I still think the Sixers can find a way to do that, but I'm not buying the chemistry right off the rip.
Yep.
I'm also not buying this team without Caris LeVert there either. That guy is the player that I think you needed. I know that you get a different skill set with Harden. I understand that it's not the same thing. You're playing a different brand of basketball, but I just feel that who they got rid of, and Jared Allen as well, players you need. I mean, that was the reason why I wouldn't have made the trade to begin with if I was the Nets. The Nets were good. They were good enough to do that anyway. I think they actually – I'm not saying they got worse. I just think that the way their skill set is distributed now, they're not as strong as they once were.
Yeah, and there's no denying the talent. I mean, the talent is obviously there. I just wonder how it fits together on the floor, and I need to see it to believe it.
Agreed. Totally agreed.
I mean, Kyrie is the wild card. It has the potential to be very combustible. It has the potential – to be something special, but I need to see it. I have huge questions about
it. So Mace, since John and LZ made a wine bet yesterday, you and I will bet some Granddaddy Purple OG on the
Nets. Nice. Gummies or no? Nice.
Yeah. So no. Flour.
Okay.
You know, so Mace, I'm taking the Nets in the East. Who are you taking?
Well, don't I get the field?
No,
that's the bet I have with Ireland. I have the bet with Ireland. It's the field versus Brooklyn.
Okay, fine. I'll give you the field. That's how confident I am.
Okay, I'll take the field.
I'm with you, George.
Brooklyn, and it's for what do you call those little film canisters? They call what that they put the weed in.
Oh, the little I don't know, a little plastic.
One of those.
Okay.
One of those Granddaddy Purple OG.
Yeah,
speaking of betting. You guys tell me, like, Michael and I aren't even allowed to make fake bets on the NBA. They're super serious about
it. Right.
But if you bet the money line tonight on the Nets, on Brooklyn, they're playing Cleveland, they're 11-point favorites, you have to win 30K, or have to bet 30K to win 5. Or if you bet 20K, you win 3. Is that a safe bet? I mean, it's not a good value bet. It's a terrible value bet. But is your 5K, all they have to do is win. All the Nets have to do is win. 30K to win 5. Would you feel comfortable if you bet 30K that you were getting 5 back?
Me? No. That's why I don't gamble, because I don't even understand half these numbers anyway. You know what I'm saying? But I think they're going to win for sure.
Yeah, they're overwhelming favorites. Mace, I would pass on that just because of the value is so bad.
Yeah, the value isn't good. And by the way, I think it's early reaction, and I think the dumb money is in right away. That's the way that normally goes. Hey, three stars. Oh, let's all go in on that. That's why they're driven to that number, and it's not a good value bet. I mean, Clinton said, I think Philly, I don't know what their number is, but Philly's a good value bet.
Yeah. Well, Philly is a good bet tonight, George, because I think Jason Tatum's out for the Celtics, right, for this game that's about to tip?
I will tell you right now.
No,
he's back.
He's going to play? Okay.
Yeah. The only injuries that are listed here are Seth Curry.
This will be a close game. Philadelphia hosting Boston. Both these teams are good. Matter of fact, whoever wins will have the best record in the East.
Boston, I could say, is a team that has a lot to prove, as much as any other.
Although
East,
I think
Eastern
they have two All-Stars now, Clinton.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown's
making the All-Star
this
condition.
Year,
He's been unbelievable. Hey, George, what's coming up on the show?
So Clinton and I are I know you guys love fake trades. Well, there is a report out there by a, let's just call it, a not so credible source.
Okay.
But they are adamant that the Lakers are bringing in a third player to be to be in a big three of their own.
Really?
So Clinton and I will entertain that coming
on
up.
On a scale of 1 to 10, what would you, the source, the believability of the source?
You gotta tune in. You gotta tune in.
I don't want you to tell me the source.
You are such a tease spoiler.
Ramona is going to stop by from 5:15 to 6:15, so we will pepper her about this particular fake.
Awesome.
I don't want to call it a fake deal, but this deal that's being alleged by a not-so-credible source. And what I mean by not-so-credible, it's not like Woj or Shams or anyone or Ramona reporting.
Is it Stugatz?
No, it's not. It's a website that I have not heard of, although they have they have a great name. So I am a little... I'm sort of torn because the name is
right,
so
when are you
going
to do this? Because I'm going to be listening. Is this like
it's
right
the
at the top
segment.
Of the show?
It is
oh,
the next
awesome.
Segment.
All right.
And then Ramona from 5:15 to 6:15. DeMarco at 6:15. We'll talk Rams and championship weekend with him. So we got a lot of stuff coming up.
All right. So tomorrow in Mason in Ireland at 1:40, Steve Fezzik, the Fez, will join us with his best bet, his analysis for this weekend's AFC-NFC championship game. At 2 o'clock, the great Lewis Riddick will be with us. Again, we'll talk about the upcoming football weekend AFC-NFC championship game. And at 2 o'clock, we will give you the first part of the Lakers back-to-back phrase that pays a chance to win $1,000 from Mason in Ireland. Free money! And standing by right now is Kiki with a look at traffic. Hey, Kiki.
Hey, Steve. It's getting so busy. Lincoln Heights still have that SIG alert, the 5 southbound right after the 110. It's a crash has that right lane taken away. And in West LA, crash blocks your two right lanes, 405 northbound right after the 10. This report sponsored by Cal, EITEC4me.org. There's money waiting for you with the Earned Income Tax Credit. Go to Cal, EITEC4me.org and learn if you qualify for the cash that'll help you buy the things you need and give you peace of mind. That's Cal, EITEC4me.org. I'm Kiki with your traffic, 710 ESPN.